Take your Bibles this morning. We're going to the book of Matthew. It's a little easier to find than the one he picked to read out of today. But it was on 1542 in my Bible. That's right. That's one of those good things right there. Matthew's Gospel, the 13th chapter. We're going to be just reading a couple verses there. I'd like to talk to us this morning about what you got that you wouldn't take nothing for. That comes from a story. It comes from a story that Paul Powell told one time that I thought was very, very interesting, and one of those kind of stories that fit well into where I grew up. I grew up in Cornfield County, Indiana. You say, well, I didn't know there was a place. Well, you didn't go there. If you lived there, you'd known that we were surrounded by cornfields. I mean, if you didn't have corns, you had beans, and that's about all you had, you know. Cornfields, bean fields, whatever, but I always called it Cornfield County because nobody seemed to know where it was, so that was okay too. But there's a salesman that was traveling around, going from town to town, and just happened to be on one of the back roads going through Indiana, and he saw this little store, little gas station, little store. Now, some of you all are old enough to remember that in those little stores, they had, you know, a few little items in there, a little bit of food, a little bit of nuts and bolts, you know, just a kind of a general type store. But it also had out in front one gas pump. Just one, not three, not eight, just one. And it was the old kind of, it was red, and you literally had to go up to it. Every time you wanted to use it, you had to dial this thing. You had to make it crank it up. Now, that wasn't cranking the gas up. It was just simply cranking up the numbers so that it come back to zero again. And it had a little ball, little thing, like a little crystal ball-like thing. And there's little bubbles, and they'd float around like that, and the little marbles would float up and down. Y'all remember that? That's a great thing. Yeah, it was one of those fun, kind of fun things in life. Well, anyway, he pulls into this little station, and he looks up at the door, and he gets ready to go, and he tells the young guy, why don't you fill it up? And, of course, you can get about the election you want. That's when they sold real gas. You didn't have this 87% octane. You got the real deal. And I mean, it'd make you run real fast. Okay, one Nexon either. But he goes up and he starts up the steps into this general store. And there was an old metal storm door, or screen door, not storm, screen. It was the kind that had it was Wonder Bread. I remember it as a kid. You know, it was on a big sign. And this thing was running at a 45-degree angle. Literally, it was made to hold the door square, all right? But it had the name, Wonder Bread, going up the thing. That's what they used to do. You used to have big, wide banners, and they put them on doors, and so you got an advertisement right there. He walks up to it. He opens the door. The moment that he opens the door, it hits this little thing up at the top, and he goes, ding, 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 ding. Well, it wasn't quite like that, but I can't ding, 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 ding well, very well. So, let's the old man know that he's coming inside. The guy doesn't look up. He's sitting there, and he's got one of those old hats on. You ever seen the old movies with a clerk, and it's got the green visor-type dealy up here, you know, kind of clear, kind of shade his eyes from the light so he could look out on things like that? Because I always thought he was a bookie or something like that, but he wasn't a bookie. He was doing his paperwork at a roll-top desk, and the man walks in, and he's looking around, and he happens to look right behind the man on a shelf, and there was a gun. An old shotgun was up there. And he said to the old guy, I said, man, I'm a gun collector. Would you mind if I looked at your gun? The old man sat there and he goes, that meant go look at the gun for you all that can't translate these things. So he just kind of went back there and he picked up the gun. He's looking around on this gun, his shotgun, old shotgun. And he couldn't figure it out because it didn't have any brand stamped in it. No name, no, wasn't a Winchester, you know, one Savage, one any one of these kind of things. It's just an old shotgun with nothing on it, no branding, no nothing. And he sets it down and he looks at it and he goes, man, I'd really like to have that gun. How this old man, yeah, okay. He turns to him and said, I'm very much interested in your gun. It doesn't have a name, but I'd really like to buy it. And the guy, old guy didn't just kind of like that. He said, I'll give you $25 for it. The old guy said, no, thank you. It's not for sale. He said, well, okay. I really like it. It's, you know, it's very unique. I know it's not much there because you can't really tell how much it's worth. I'll tell you what. I'll give you 50. And the old guy said, no, it's not for sale. Well, this salesman already knew that he had $150 in his pocket. That was it, in cash. That's all that he had. He didn't have any more. So he says, I'll tell you what. I don't know why, but I really like that gun. I will give you $100 for that gun. Now, in that day, that was a lot of money. He said, no, thank you. It's not for sale. He said, I don't understand. I'm offering you way more money than that gun is worth. And yet you won't even touch that thing. You won't even say, what's the deal? He said, Sonny boy, let me tell you something. My daddy made that gun, and it's not for sale. I wouldn't take nothing for it. Salesman goes, okay. And he backs out very gently. Goes out the door, the little dinger goes off again, says he's out the thing, gets in his car. And as he's going down the highway, he takes off. He says, you know, I'll remember this. I'll come back in a couple years. That old man will be dead. And I'll get his grandson out there pumping gas. He won't know anything about that gun. I said, I'll give him $25 and I'll have that gun for myself. He drove a little bit further and he got thinking about what the old man said to him. He said, you know, I need to get something in my life that I wouldn't take anything for. So I'm going to ask you this morning, what you got that you wouldn't take nothing for in your personal life? There's a passage in Matthew's gospel in the 13th chapter, and it makes a statement here at the 45th verse. Well, excuse me, I'm sorry. Let me back up a little bit. There's a lot of things that Jesus has been saying along here. The kingdom of heaven is like. But in verse 45, he says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Do you have something that is so valuable to you? Something that's so incredibly worthy in your life that you wouldn't take nothing for? I mean, is there anything that's one of these great pearls that you have? You know, I had to stop and not think about this kind of thing. What do I have in my life that's so important that I wouldn't take anything for? I can tell you this, it's always because of the value that Jesus made it. It wasn't about anything that I have. Here was a pearl merchant. This was a man that knew pearls. He went everywhere. He bought pearls. He did all the things. But when he saw the most beautiful pearl that he had ever seen, this pearl was perfect. It had everything. He takes all the pearls that he has, he sells everything, to go purchase this one pearl. Because he saw in that the pearl of greatest price. This is the one I have to have. There's at least one thing of worth in our lives. In fact, I found many things in my life that I feel like I wouldn't take anything for. But let me ask you that. Is there just one thing that you wouldn't trade anything for it? You wouldn't give it up? You wouldn't do anything? What is the ultimate, I guess I could say? What is the ultimate that you value something? Now, I'm asking for special things. I'm not asking, Dad, you want to give me your car? You want to do anything? You know, I own a string of pearls. In fact, I want to give you five of them today that I think I wouldn't take nothing for. And the first one has to be this. It has to be my pearl of greatest price, and that's Jesus Christ. I got to say that my salvation, my relationship to God is something that I wouldn't take nothing for. And it's not just about forgiveness, it's not just about heaven, it's just about everything that God has done. Every meaning and purpose of my life was given to me by my relationship with Jesus Christ. He gave me direction, he gave me values, he brought discipline to my life. And if you want a testimony after church, you can ask my brother. I needed a lot of that. Jesus motivated me to do things that were way beyond what anybody else said I could ever do in life. And then he gave me the power to get it done. I mean, there's nothing else in there. The result of my trusting Jesus altered my life completely. Brought me to Texas. That was 50 years ago. I mean, it did everything for me. It gave me destiny. It gave me a determination to get to where I wanted to go. I didn't even know what I wanted. But when I met Jesus, it was life-changing. It made all the difference. What are the major influences in your life? What are the things that make life worth living? Or maybe it's affected your life. You know, our family has sickness, as many as your family do. But sometimes sickness alters what you want to do in life. It robs you of things that you want to do. And there's always death. Death does the same thing. You're on a certain path, someone dies, and all of a sudden that changes. Everything goes a different direction after that. Maybe it's money, maybe it's opportunity, maybe it's work-related, maybe it's your talent. Maybe you have a talent that nobody else has. Maybe it's simply the gift that God gave you when you were born to communicate or to sing or to play an instrument or to do something of any of those things. But I can tell you this, if you remove just one of those, everything else changes. It alters everything that you want to do. But if you ever try to subtract Christ from your life, you don't have a life. You don't have anything. Because Jesus is the only thing that is eternal. Your talents will go by the wayside. Your ability to sing, you'll get a frog in your throat like I get all the time. All the things that you count as so great will disappear. But the one thing that will never disappear, his name's Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote about it, and he said in the Romans chapter 8, he said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present or things to come, height, depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's something you ought to remember. Right there, he said, there's nothing that's going to knock you out. Nothing going to take it away. We can lose our health. We can find ourselves broke. All the money's gone. Sometimes you can lose family or friends. All those things can take place. You may not be as comfortable as you used to be. Maybe it hurts to sit down. Maybe it hurts when you lay down. All of these things can change, but none of them can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So my pearl of greatest price, is simply that. It is exactly what was written and what Jesus said. I'm going to sell everything that I have, and by his grace, I will have a personal relationship that had established my life, and it's been changed forever. That is a great pearl. But you know, there's other things in life too, but they have to fall in line to all this. One of the legendary coaches of the Dallas Cowboys had to be Tom Landry. One of my favorite coaches, actually. One of the only reason that I was ever interested in the Cowboys. And I've lost a lot of interest since then. But back there in that day, I really enjoyed it. Dallas Cowboy coach, Hall of Famer, all the things, anything you could say. Bob Lilly, one of the great players that played for him back in the day. Bob Lilly said one time that he was his rookie year. He was out with the Cowboys. He walked into the locker room. In walks the coach. Everything got silent. He walked up to a chalkboard. We didn't have, computers in that day. Nothing digital ever happened in that day. So he walks up to his chalkboard, and he says, he wrote priorities across the top of it. And he made the priorities. He said, number one, God. Number two, family. Number three, Dallas Cowboys. He said, don't ever forget it. God is my first priority. My family is next. This team, you, every one of you, this organization, that's third. Now, family always has to be near the top of my list. I spend time with the family. That's one of my pearls, my family. I love my family. I love everything about it. You know, Jesus made a statement. He made an observation. Man shall not live by bread alone. Yep. He's going to say by every word that comes out of what? It comes from him. Everything that he speaks to us. God has given us a powerful hunger for our families. It's a relationship thing. Every one of us, I was so excited to see people come in today, you know, that I hadn't seen in a little bit. And Johnny, I got to say this. I know I'm putting you on the spot over there, but you got a good tan. They won't see all the red that's coming down your face. It won't hurt you. We all need each other. You say, well, I miss this and I miss that. I need to be needed. Is that how you feel about your family? You need to be needed. You need all those kind of things. You need the enriching of others' lives. That's what you need. You need somebody that is contributing not only to you, but to the whole spectrum of your family. That you can touch every person's life. My friend, that's a genuine hunger that comes to somebody that cares about his family. That's something that is built into us. You know, it's not about me. It's about what can I do to enrich my family? What can I say? What can happen? And now what comes back to me? Always coming back to me is their love. All their things. You know, it's a melting point when she's not in here right now. Lord have mercy, aren't you thankful? I'm not talking about Margaret, I'm talking about Lily. But if Lily was here, she runs up to Grandpa and she goes, Grandpa, I love you. And you know what I have to say? How could you not? No, I've never said that to her. No, that's a joke. Family gives us courage to step up and do things that we wouldn't normally do. You know, you mess with my family, you're messing with me, and I'm afraid that would not be a very good thing. I am a preacher, but I own a lot of guns, so I just want to let you all know that. They give you kindness when you don't deserve it. They say kind things to you when they really, you know, when you haven't been that kind to them. You see, there's so much more to our lives than just the village idiot. There is. There's something that a family gives. We don't have to be boisterous. We don't have to be any of those things. I didn't put family number one. I put Jesus number one. But family is pressing on that in that second slot because it's so important. The third pearl that I think so much about, and because I think about all the time my relationship that comes here in this church and the people I know, is called integrity. That is extremely important to me, my integrity. I want to be genuine. I'm going to be me. You know that, right? I don't hardly ever hold anything back on that kind of stuff. I just want to be that person that I always am, anywhere, at any time. I call that consistency. Sometimes my kids thought that was a little harsh on them because I was consistently on their case if they got out of line with their mom. Yep, I did that. It also speaks, when you talk about integrity, it talks about dependability. They never had to worry. They never had to go looking for me. I'm going to be there. I wanted to be dependable. And I hope and pray that I always was that. You know why? Because it's like the old saying, practice what you preach. Well, that's what I wanted to do. I'm going to be that person, regardless whether it's something like somebody likes it or they don't like it. Regardless of the circumstances, this is who you should always be. As a Christian, Jesus didn't make me perfect. He's the only perfect one that we had out there. But he should make every one of us authentic. We ought to be real people. We ought to be the kind of person that's genuine. We ought to be the person that is consistent, that doesn't fluctuate as a situation might happen. No, it's not about situational ethics. It's about who am I and what do I do in all cases. Now, in my world of preachers, there's been moral failures. There's been absolute bums. There's been Kool-Aid kids. There's the one that preaches against having a relationship with somebody that wasn't his wife, and all the time he's having a relationship. All those things take place because preachers aren't perfect. But there's one that is perfect, and he said, I'm asking you, I'm commanding you that you live up to what I have given you. I'm saying to you as a pastor, and this is what should be said to every preacher, not only practice what you preach, but live godly in this present world. This is my job. This is what I do. Not because I have to, because I want to. I don't want to displease my first pearl. I don't want to bring any shame upon him. And I'd say the vast majority of preachers feel that very same way as I do. But we can't pick and choose the truth we want to push forward. I don't pick and choose out of this Bible. I'm going to lay the word out. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, just get over it. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you, this is what it says. But I like what so many have written. In the book of Proverbs, it says, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." Give me integrity. That's a great pearl right there. The fourth one I selected is you, church. You say, why do you select us? Because that's the arena of my life. I mean, you're my life. This is what I do. This is my calling. This is my privilege to get to be your pastor. And so I hold this church as something that God has given me sheep to tend to, and it is a great love that I have. Your friends. I don't take that lightly. Never have, never will take it lightly. Because we've all have a common belief in Jesus Christ. We've come together for that. We come together for fellowship. We come together to lift each other up when we need to be lifted up. We come sometimes to kick somebody in the backside. Oh, that's my job. Okay, I'll take that one on myself. I can tell you this, it won't be long, and I would have been doing this right here for 50 years. It's my privilege. It's my joy. It is what God has given me, and it is a constant. Oh, yes, there's been denominational changes along the way. There's been people. I don't think I've ever changed my message. But I believe this is what God's word always talks about. And I need to deliver that pearl to the pearl that I think the most of Jesus, and then to you, because you are a pearl. How would I ever get you connected unless I gave you the thing that connected everybody if I don't give you Jesus? Our church is a beacon. It is. It's a light. Every time that you go out, I hope you're shining, not for yourself, but for Christ. Because that's what is so important about it. Life's highest and greatest calling is the opportunity to share Jesus Christ, to make a difference in somebody's life, to go out and to bring those in. But some people say, well, where do you go to church? Home. I say, home. Oh, yeah. We're just kind of, you know, we just really don't have much confidence in. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner some is. We need each other. Yeah, we do. We need each other to make a difference. I need to come, hopefully bring something that will strengthen you for your walk this coming week. But what strengthens me is the very fact that you are here, that you have a concern for the lost, and that you see what is the most essential thing. It's the spiritual welfare of those that we come in contact with. It's not about that they run this particular business, not about they sell me this or they do this over here. But I can tell you this, for some people, attendance is optional. For me, it's not. It's not optional at all. Come, glorify Jesus for a short period of time, and it is a short period of time, and you will see what I'm talking about. The church is a pearl. That next pearl that I got in here, the fifth pearl that I have, is this word. Yeah, this word right here. The word that changed my life. The Bible says that heaven and earth can pass away, but what? My word will never pass away. God's word is not going to pass away. They can burn the Bibles. They can do all this kind of thing. But that Bible is going to keep going. It's going to be there somewhere. Because it is one of God's greatest gifts to mankind, to every one of us. It is it's the foundation of our lives. It comes right out of this word. It is the compass that God has given us. It directs me every single day, not only in spiritual matters, but everything that I do outside of this church. It's the word of God. Okay, I need to finish up here. Oh, I added one more. I lied to you. I said I had 5 pearls. I got 6 pearls. Okay? And I really came to the 6th pearl just about 3 seconds ago. I did. It's amazing. I still have dreams and they still go around this little head. It's America. It's the state of Texas. I am so proud to be right here in Robinson, Texas. I'm so thankful to be an American. I'm so thankful for my country. I'm so thankful that I live right here, that I don't live in New York City. And Lord have mercy if you gave me California. I'm always hoping it's going to fall off in the ocean someday, but I don't pray those things anymore. But I remember when I was in college, we used to make trips down to Corpus, and I had friends that lived in Corpus, and then we might run on down to the Matamoros, and we go on across into the other side over to Mexico. And you know, it was amazing how much from Mexico to the U.S., if I stood here and I looked into Mexico and then I turned around and looked back, they looked so much alike. They really did. It was hard to tell a difference between the two. But the more we live, I see how many people are trying to come here. There must be a great difference between what Mexico is and what the U.S. is. They're all trying to get here. You may say, well, it looks the same from over there. Well, there's a world of difference. We've been given something that is a privilege. A privilege that God and God alone has given to our great country. His love for us has made all the difference right here. You know something? It's been 50 years that I've got the privilege of living in Texas. I wouldn't take nothing for it. I'm asking you. I want you to examine your life. You notice that hopefully there's no material things on my list. Material things aren't important. It's a perspective, and that's what it is. You and I can build upon the pearl of greatest price, but you first got to answer what it is that you wouldn't take nothing for. Yeah, I know English teachers, those are 2 negatives in the same sentence. You'll get over it too. It's okay, Larry. I already knew all that kind of stuff. I did go to college one time. What is it in your life that you wouldn't take nothing for? Let's pray.